Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Megan, welcome back.
Who the is Megan?
You welcome back.
So both of us have technically been gone for a little bit.
I know, and it was like just enough overlap that it was too much time away.
I know. Well, so you guys know last week I was a little salty about Megan leaving me for Belize for a week, but...
Oh, you found a replacement real quick.
Listen, you are irreplaceable.
I just want to say it's never like you ask me to take a photo with you with a ring light happening and a step and repeat.
That's true. We should do that after every episode. Well, welcome back. And yes, I took a couple days off to go visit family in New England.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Nice.
I went to the aquarium.
Oh, I know you had mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, it's like zoos and aquariums, like it's kind of problematic, but it's so fun. What are we talking today?
We got to talk about Real Housewives of Orange County, Real Housewives of Dallas, and then Below Deck.
Mm-hmm. And we have interviews with Dr. Heavenly from Married to Medicine and Emily Simpson from Real Housewives of Orange County. And if you guys remember from last week, My Rose was the new Daily Dish Instagram. So follow Bravo Daily Dish on Instagram for all the latest and greatest breaking news with your favorite Bravo celebrities, what's going on podcasts, all that
videos.
Good stuff. After shows. We got all the good stuff.
So Real Housewives of Dallas, are you okay?
Listen, I'm not okay, and I'm going to tell you why. A couple things came up in this episode that we've had issues with a lot in the past with other Housewives franchises, and this is what they are. Number one, why does everyone put their dead pets in the freezer?
Yeah.
Number two, the shared toothbrush came up again.
I know.
What is going on?
A toothbrush. You do not use my toothbrush anymore because it's disgusting when we get up.
It is not.
It is disgusting when I wake up in the morning, my toothbrush is wet.
Ew.
Ew to both.
Also, Stephanie and Travis have so much goddamn money, you can't afford an extra toothbrush?
Honestly. Like, he has like four Lamborghinis or something in the garage. It's like, get an extra toothbrush.
And I don't believe that the bathroom in their house doesn't have two toothbrushes.
Right.
Why can't you just reach a little further for yours?
I don't know. It's too much. I mean, so we've had this issue come up in the past. Most recently, I think it was Real Housewives of Atlanta, Portia, and Dennis. And we had a lot of back and forth about that. We had a lot of feedback from fans. So, you know, we are on the do not share a toothbrush train. Please have your own. Keep your mouth bacteria to yourself.
Right.
Well, also, and then a little bit got into it with Potomac when Monique licked the binky and then gave it back to the baby.
Right.
You were not happy about that.
Gosh.
But then with these pets being kept in the freezer for months at
right.
a time.
Because MJ did it in Shaws of Sunset.
Mm-hmm. Tinsley.
Now, did she keep it in her own freezer or she had it like cryo? I don't know.
I mean, I think last we knew she was living in a hotel. So maybe she like asked the staff if they could like store.
It's in the ice.
Right.
Like the ice machine.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's just all of these things keep coming up, these weird habits on Housewives. And it's just, it's stressing me out.
Just, I mean, look, no one loves pets more than me. You take it to the vet and you have it incinerated. I'm sorry. That's just how it right. is.
It's just like, that is the rule.
That's just how life works.
Well, so the reason we're discussing the pet thing is that Brandy's family had to put Bun Bun to rest.
Also, I have a hard time believing they even really loved that bunny. Think about the fact that they didn't give their dog a name for
right.
like the most of the years that they had had it.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine they had this really deep attachment to this bunny.
Honestly, what it seemed like to me is that they needed a play date, number one, and then just like time as couples to hang out. Because at one point, Stephanie's even like, oh, we should do this more often when it's like not a, you know, bunny funeral or whatever. So I feel like maybe they just like needed an excuse to get together and everyone's lives are so busy that they were like, well, Bun Bun died and he's in the freezer. So let's have a funeral.
Next time, just a play date.
Right. Think, just, you know. Just like check your schedules.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Well, I also want to talk about what the hell's going on with Mama D.
You spend everything you make. You always have.
Why is she such a...
She's getting worse.
Strong person?
Yeah. I mean, I feel really, really bad for Deandra because, yes, I think she's going to Mama D kind of asking for money without actually asking for it, but... in some ways, I think she's also asking for a little bit of guidance. Like, what do I do in this situation? And Mama D's providing nothing.
It is interesting. Like, I think parents often want their kids to have it better than they did, but then resent the fact that their kids have it better than they did.
That's a really good point, because it sounds like that's a bit of what's going on here.
Because I don't know about Mama D's childhood, but I'm just guessing it wasn't this, like, lavish over the top, have 250 dresses by the time you're 8 years old.
Yeah.
And so the fact that she did give her daughter so much of that maybe rubs her the wrong way a little bit.
Well, and now she's like, fly on your own and figure this out, which we've heard her say in many iterations, but it's still like, Deandra wouldn't be in this situation if you hadn't let the company get to this point. So at this point, you need to provide some help, just like a little bit of direction. I mean, Travis has been more helpful for Deandra in this situation than Mama D, and it was her company.
Right.
Oof. What do you think about her house? We saw that for the first time, I think.
Beautiful.
Right.
As very, expected.
Very Mama D-ish.
Yeah. There are a lot of celebrities out there who say, like, isn't Bill Gates, like, famously not giving his kids all his money?
Probably.
It's something like that.
Yeah, right.
Like, I know there are other celebrities that, like, do that.
Yeah. I think there is a degree of support a parent should provide if they are that financially well off, but not to the point in which you're spoiling your kids and they're losing that ability to understand the importance of hard work and what that kind of means. And, you know, that's come up in the past with, you know, Jennifer Aydin on Real Housewives of New Jersey. Like, is she spoiling her kids? Are they not going to grow up with the right kind of idea of what it means to achieve or get something? But, you know, it's also like Deandra can't really control her upbringing. Like,
right.
She brought up the point of, like, I had 275 dresses and 75 pairs of shoes when I was five. Mama D did that, not Deandra. She didn't go out and buy that stuff. So now all of a sudden to be a certain way with your kids all their life, and then when they really kind of need your help, and knowing that Deandra gave up a big career in D.C. to come back to help this company and all of that, it's kind of like, Mama D, like, don't let her drown here. You got to throw her a life raft.
Yeah. There is also just a sort of heartlessness with the way that Mama D is talking to Deandra.
Yeah. Very dismissive. Very dismissive. Tragic. What do you think about all of these events that Leanne is throwing for her wedding?
I mean, look, you are in a lot of weddings.
Yeah.
I actually don't think it's atypical, right? Like,
well,
you have a bridal shower, you have a bachelorette party.
But she's also doing, like, a shower for herself and then a couple's shower and the bachelorette party.
Yeah.
It's like one event maybe too many.
Right. I mean, I made my bridal shower also the lingerie shower. So, like, I think there is a way to, like, maximize
right combine forces here.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was interesting too, because Cameron was like talking about her wedding and she was like, listen, she was like, we had a rehearsal dinner, we had a welcome dinner, we had like a brunch the next day. And I was like, well, those all actually sound pretty standard to the events of a wedding.
But then she said they had like five showers.
Yeah.
Leanne, having four events to celebrate a wedding, that is nothing. I had a bachelorette party, I had a rehearsal dinner, I even had a welcoming party on Thursday before the rehearsal dinner. We had a couple sushi party, a goodbye guest party.
Yeah, Court had completely forgotten about that. I think he had blocked that from his memory, it sounds like, a little bit.
I doubt he was, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't think he was really a part of
him.
That. Right, it was like Jimmy and Cameron planning the whole thing and Court just, like, showing up when he needed to.
What I think is more odd is expecting everyone to come to everything. That's just not going to happen.
Well, and also, you know, inviting
some people to some things and not, it's weird.
It's very weird. And it just, I understand certain events, maybe you want certain people there, but if like they're not invited to the wedding, but you're letting them come to the bachelorette, but then, you know, you want them to come to the shower, but then they can't come to the shower because in the middle of the day, it's sort of like, if you're going to have that many events, you need to like manage your expectations and recognize everyone's not going to come to everything unless you're Carrie Duber. She's showing up to all of them. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little much, but I guess next week we're getting the wedding finally. So we're going to see, you know, how that all plays out, who ends up showing up. I can't remember if Deandra's going or if Brandy's invited. I can't even keep track of all these invitations. People are now getting text message invitations to the wedding, which, you know, I don't know about that.
Yeah. And Well, screenshots of the a photo of the invitation you should have received in the mail.
Which 30% of all 30% mail apparently gets lost.
Everyone knows that. But also, wait, what do you think about Cameron and Leanne crashing Carrie's drinks?
You know what we've talked a lot about recently with Married to Medicine, everything is girl code. And part of me thinks that this crashing of the drinks is in violation of girl code a little bit. And I feel like Cam and Leanne should have listened to Carrie Duber when she was like, that seems a little desperate and tacky if we show up, and they still do it anyway.
Yeah, well, I feel like Carrie Duber was the only one who was like, is that embarrassing?
Right.
And Leanne's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I think they should have listened to Carrie Duber on that one.
We're not showing up where they are. That's like desperate.
No, it's not. That's not the way to fix it.
There's already enough conflict that them showing up is only going to maximize that. You know, it's not like they were going to resolve issues. It seemed like they were going to corner them, which they literally did. And
on a rooftop.
Yeah, so there's no escape. And, you know, Leanne and Carrie Brittingham are having a lot of trouble getting along. We've seen so much going on with Stephanie and Cameron. Like, that is just not the scenario to put everyone in. Because that does feel a little bit like an attack, you know? So what's going to come out of that? Nothing positive.
Yeah.
Someone's going to go flying off that rooftop before we know it. It's going to be Leanne. Below Deck.
We need to talk about Kevin.
Isn't that a movie?
Yes, and well, based off a book.
Based off a book. Okay.
It's really good. Everyone should watch it, but it's
dark,
like a
right?
Sociopathic.
Yeah.
Son.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chef Kevin, maybe not sociopathic, but he has his
he has his
neuroses. You know, he's pretty particular about how
he's a chef. Right. Enough said.
Right. There's a sense of arrogance and a sense of, you know, a little OCD perhaps, and everyone's not working up to his standard.
Just to follow his whole thing throughout the episode, mm-hmm. He starts out being such an asshole to everyone, but then by the end gives a really sincere apology, I feel.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
I do appreciate that, because in the moment when you're under stress and you know things are not getting done to the way that you want, like, it's very easy to get caught up in your emotions and then maybe lash out at people. But at least to be able to, like, take a step back and recognize that, you know, you're projecting your anger onto the wrong person or places is good to reflect on. But is that going to carry on through the rest of the season? Like, has he learned from that? Like, oh, I need to be better
next time things are stressful.
Yeah, like, who's to say? I mean, something tells me no, and he might be one of those, like, lash out and apologize later types. But I guess we'll see. What are your thoughts on Abby and her, you know, leaving the mic on and hair back? I mean,
well, I mean, the hair, like, I, you know, she can't help it. But, like, yeah, obviously you should pull it back.
Like, it does seem like not the most radical request.
I know.
For someone who
is working near things where, like, I mean, Ashton's foot literally got caught in, you know, a rope situation.
Right, right. And there's nothing you can do about your foot. So,
yeah.
Like, if your hair is at risk of injuring you or something, you know, like, just think about it. Maybe don't take it so personally.
Right. I thought that was weird. But I did like how upset she was at herself for the walkie situation.
I know. I did feel bad. There's a lot of issues with, like, walkies and mics and earpieces, like, from Below Deck Med last season with June Hannah, and now with Abby not really knowing kind of the importance of having the radio and then just, like, really messing it up while she's holding on to it. You know, Captain Lee kind of drilled it home early on this season. Like, this is the most important thing on the boat, because it keeps everybody in communication so that when something happens, God forbid, we can all act on it. And he's thinking about just last season with what happened to Ashton, you know? So it's kind of like the lowest thing, like your lowest or your highest priority, the lowest hanging fruit should be just, like, make sure you got the radio under control.
What did you think of the seafood extravaganza?
It's a seafood extravaganza. The clue is in the name. I want to see ramekins of shrimp, bowls of oysters. I want to use every dish on this boat and fill it with seafood. Oh, all of a sudden you want to do a plated meal? That's only because you forgot to order seafood.
It was a bit of a rocky start to the seafood extravaganza, right? But here's the thing. if the food's not going to come together or whatever, like, that is really the opportunity for Chief Stew, Kate, to be like, let's decorate the hell out of this table, make this look as underwater, like, seafood extravaganza as possible, because sometimes the illusion is enough to make people think.
But then Kevin owes her because...
Yeah.
What the hell? That was not an extravaganza.
Right. I mean, to count on a bunch of drunk people to go out and catch the fish and bring it back. Like, come on. No way.
Come on.
Come on. I mean, you know, Brandy is not good for anything around here. She's just like falling all over the place.
Oh, I love how drunk they're getting.
I'm telling you.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that because she is on the verge of like being hospitalized, I feel.
Well, yeah. I mean, my theory is that it's so hot there and nobody is drinking enough water and everyone's dehydrating way faster than they should be. And it's just sort of like you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on this excursion.
You want to remember it.
You got to remember some of it, you know? I mean, come on, Brandy.
Oh, my God. So this one day in Belize, I was drinking iguana punch.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what's in it, but it was delicious.
Was it iguana?
No. And I, like, one, I was pretty drunk, and then I had three. Because, uh-oh, you know, like, that's my problem, is once I feel good, I'm like, I want this feeling to last forever. So right. I'll just keep drinking, not thinking. It's just going to get worse.
There are consequences for that.
So we went back to the bar the next day, and I said to the bartender, God, I got really messed up off your drinks. He was like, I know. Remember, I came over to you to tell you that your boob was out.
And you were like, oh.
I had no idea. I had no recollection.
Listen, I mean, that just means you have a place among the Real Housewives of Orange County.
I know.
Because they are always getting drunk with their tits out.
Yes.
But usually nobody stops them. Or maybe Vicky will be like, put your tit away, Tamara. Put your tit away, Megan. Well, Brandy is getting carted off the little island retreat that they're having because she's too wasted. So her tits aren't out, but she needs some medical attention.
Right.
Hey, Brandy, Tanner and Brian are going to put you in a kayak now, okay?
It's pretty rough out there. Let's just get her in as quick as possible.
All right. I'm sorry.
Another thing I wanted to bring up, Chef Kevin's connection to the Titanic.
Oh, right.
Which, like, I think he said his great-grandfather worked on the boat and, like, went down with the ship and everything.
And my great-great-great-granddad was a chef on the Titanic. His name was Kevin.
Does that mean your great-great-great-granddad went down with the Titanic?
Yeah, that's the story.
But what I thought was really crazy, and this you'll appreciate, is at my housewarming that you were gone in Belize for. But
okay,
like,
relax. I'm sorry.
But what I'm saying, I'm giving everyone context for it. Not that I'm bitter, but I am. So Crystal, our coworker, her friend Michael, is obsessed with the Titanic. And he was over at my housewarming talking about how he went to a psychic or a medium. And they had told him that in his past life, he had been in some kind of like maritime disaster, like some kind of like nautical accident or whatever. And he actually has a Titanic tattoo on his arm.
So he could be Kevin's great grandfather.
Right. So as soon as I watched this episode of Below Deck and he like had that connection, I was like, oh my God. And I immediately told Crystal, I was like, the Titanic, it keeps coming up. Like this great grandfather, it could be, Michael could be the reincarnation of Chef Kevin's great grandfather.
I'm here for that theory.
We need to unite them and see if there's some kind of, like, connection.
Eric, do you remember mood rings?
Well, being a child of the 90s, it was mandatory to have one.
So Scentbird is sort of like an adult mood ring, but with fragrances. With more than 450 designer brands to choose a perfume or cologne from, you can switch up your scent depending on how you're feeling that day.
You could choose from brands like Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, or my personal favorite, Burberry. And Scentbird will send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times a day for a month.
Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort and find your new fragrance by brand, scent, occasion, season, and more.
One good tip is to check out user ratings and reviews on any fragrance, or you can actually take Scentbird's quiz to discover more personalized recommendations based on your taste.
And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance.
Go to scentbird.com/dish and use our code DISH for 50% off your first month.
Again, that's scentbird.com/dish. To try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50.
Sign on and smell amazing. Real Housewives of Orange County. It is OC Fashion Week.
Oh, I loved this episode.
And listen, my rose, my thorn, my everything is Kathy.
That means every one of you, if you've ever been verbally abused, you can hashtag on your Instagram feed tonight, even.
She's... I don't know what to say. I'm trying to think of what's the politically correct way to say that she has lost it.
I think she's the seventh Real Housewife of Orange County this season because she came to play.
Crazy. Like that whole thing was crazy.
Yeah. So I guess we actually just had Bronwyn and her daughter Rowan in here for an interview that you guys will hear in a couple weeks. But we tried to get a little bit of tea out of them beforehand and they basically were like, we don't know where that came from. She was so kind of crazy. The guy who stopped Dr. Deb wasn't even really a security guard. So the whole situation just like escalated really, really quickly.
Yes. And if you watch the Real Housewives of Orange County after show, Bronwyn explains that they had to, after Kathy's whole anti-bullying spiel, other staff members like grabbed her and took her away and like basically locked her in a closet.
That's so crazy. I mean, she really, something did seem disconnected there.
Right.
For her to react that way. And she's bopping Kelly Dodd on the mouth. A lot of bopping happening this season.
But just the way she was strutting as she was giving the speech about anti-bullying, like kind of gliding almost.
Yeah, I mean, I think she saw the cameras were rolling, the lights are on. I mean, it was go time for her. She was like,
she
I'm going to
whip her head around. Like, it was amazing.
It was a lot. It was a lot. But you know what? Rowan, great job at the fashion show. Adeline crushed it with her runway walk. It was a really great episode to see the daughters like do something really incredible and accomplish something. I love Rowan.
I do too.
Now that I've met her.
I know. Okay, so Bronwyn was in this morning
yeah.
and was interviewing her. And I had to ask about threesomes with her daughter sitting there. But Rowan was so cool about it.
Megan was like, do you think I can ask that? I was like, yes.
You better.
I was like, she's 17. She knows. It's fine. Well, speaking of children, what are we going to do about Ryan?
I don't know
what to do.
It's sad.
It's really sad because he definitely is feeling neglected. Just something is deeply wrong, where I'm glad that by the end of the episode, Tamara is like, I think you need to go to therapy, because that seems pretty obvious at that point that he's dealing with some deep-rooted issues. And I think a lot of the feelings that he was talking about are very reflective of how a lot of Trump supporters feel, which is kind of really interesting to observe him like this, just knowing that what he's dealing with like is times 10 for so many other people when it comes to today's politics, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because on the after show, Tamara was saying that his, like, love of Trump surprised even her, and that she was like, I feel like because he was in such a low place, he needed someone to look to. And so he started looking to Trump almost as God.
Yeah. So we see Gina dye her hair bleach blonde in this episode.
And you try to make yourself feel better, but what you really end up doing is making yourself look really ugly. Case in point, Gina. Exhibit A.
The only thing I could think of, and you've probably seen some of these memes as well, is it's like gays going through their midlife crisis and like bleaching their hair when they don't know what else to do, or like getting a nose ring. Two things that I have strongly considered in my life whenever I feel like things are out of control. But then I'm like, oh, I don't want to be that meme.
I want you to do both.
I know. But
just like, do it now while life is good.
Right? And then it's like, everything's fine. See?
Do you think she went in with a photo of like Khaleesi or something?
I think if not, that's what the hairdresser had in mind.
Like, I will make you a god.
Damn. Well, at least we know that Gina is back to like a, you know, a little more natural blonde at this point. But what the hell with Matt showing up to her house?
You know what was disturbing about that? Her recounting the story of Matt breaking into her house at like 1 a.m. is that Gina said afterward in her confession, it just feels good to know he cares.
It's alarming that Matt walked into my home in the middle of the night. But to be honest, also, it feels good that Matt cares about me.
Yeah, that felt like Stockholm syndrome.
But it's also like, I think that people do equate obsession with love.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
those kind of acts with love. And it's like, no. Like, that's not love.
Well, and it's just confusing the situation for her because, you know, he was the one who cheated. He was the one, and I think Tamara says it herself, that kind of broke up the family.
Yeah, he already broke up your family.
So for him to do something this dramatic, to be like, look, I want to fix things, it's sort of like, they're already broken and it's your fault. So you have to also deal with these consequences as I do. And like, all I have to say, Gina, is you better lock those doors. You better double check. Dr. Hadi. Is his last name like Hadi, like H-A-D-I? Or is she calling him like Dr. Hadi, like he's a hottie?
Is this a real question, Eric?
I'm so confused.
Yes, it's like his nickname.
Well, so here's the thing.
Why would we be giving this person's last name we don't even see?
I don't know. Maybe he signed a release. But at least we know Gina has a new man in her life now.
Do we?
We've covered it on BravoTV.com. She mentioned it not too long ago. So Dr. Hadi is out.
I got a chance to talk to Emily Simpson from Real Housewives of Orange County. And honestly, I feel like this is one of my favorite interviews. She got so raw and emotional when talking about Shane, the whole update on whether or not he passed the bar, what she thinks looking back on this season, and if she's glad she came back. So give it a listen. Welcome back, Emily Simpson.
Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you back for your second season.
Yeah.
It's been a little rough so far.
It's been a rough season.
Yeah.
and now I have to relive it.
I mean, what is that like?
It's rough. It's rough again. Like, it's rough the first time around, but then, you know, you get like a little break and then it's like rough again because you have to relive it. So
are you watching the episodes with Shane?
No, Shane watches them. His goal in life is that the two of us sit down and watch the episodes together. But I honestly can't do it. Like, it makes me kind of nauseous.
Oh, so you're the one who says no.
Yeah. Oh, he watched like immediately. As soon as I get the episode, he watches it.
So why do you think it is hard for you to watch?
I think because I take things so personally, and sometimes I feel like I'm like have to be the worst reality star ever because I feel like you can't take things personally. Like, you have to just kind of go in and kind of be robotic sometimes. And I don't know, like, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that.
So it's more about the content. It's not the, oh, I shouldn't have worn that.
Well, no, there's a lot of that too. This is everything. Like, everything just kind of, I watch it and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I wore that. And my voice sounds stupid. And why am I making that look on my face? And it's just a lot.
Well, then how, because I mean, I'm watching the after show right now.
Uh-huh.
For his episode. So how are you able to comment? So, like, I mean, I guess you just remember.
I remember a lot. I think maybe it's the attorney in me. I'm constantly taking notes in my head. Actually, I feel like if I come back next season, I'm just going to carry a notepad around and constantly take notes. I'm going to be like, wait, what did you say? Could you repeat that?
Have a stenographer.
Yeah.
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 Amazing. Well, how is your stress level these days?
Oh my gosh, I am so stressed out. I need drugs because I don't know. Every time the episode airs, it's like I get like a panic attack and my heart rate goes up. I don't know. I have a hard time.
Did your bald spot grow back?
It did. Okay. It's growing back. It's obviously like super short. So I just have like this crazy, like, you know, like half an inch hair in the back of my head. Yeah. But I didn't get any new bald spots. So that's good.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we sadly heard the news that Shane did not pass the bar.
Right.
Which I'm sure fans are just waiting and watching.
Oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe the DMs I get constantly on my Instagram. Did he pass? Did he pass? First of all, I find it so interesting that people get so involved in it and are really like, it's like, find that interesting.
I'll give you my theory as to why.
Okay.
I think fans really like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you you know, took on this challenge of kind of raising these kids by yourself while he was studying. And like, maybe there's a part of us that felt like you weren't appreciated enough.
Yeah. And I can see that because it was, I mean, honestly, that period of time in my life was probably the hardest thing I'd gone through for many, many years, probably since maybe like the first year we were married. It was just way too many things on my plate all at one time. And being 43, like I'm not 25 anymore. And, just kind of being depressed and kind of not in a good place and kind of gained weight and have a bad hip. Like I have to have hip replacement, like the chronic pain. I mean, I know that sounds dumb, but like, but putting all those things together at one time and then being like, oh, let's film a show and film your life. It was just, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised that Shane was okay doing the show for a second season.
He's never okay with it. I think he just, I think he goes along with it because he knows that it's kind of like something I want to do, but he's never really like into it at all, which I'm sure you can tell, but he does it.
Yeah.
Like begrudgingly. He's like a kid that like throws a tantrum, you know, and like doesn't want to go to school, but they go.
Well, I do think we should give him props for that.
Yeah.
Like this is a huge thing to take on if you don't really want to.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not like, you know, a lot of men, like husbands, like he's very private. He's not interested in like, you know, being in the public eye. I mean, I'm sure you've noticed he has no social media. He doesn't comment on anything. He doesn't, he has probably 100,000 friend requests on Instagram and he declines them all. Like he has no desire to like be out there publicly. But what's funny is he gets recognized so much, like more than I do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like we'll be at Target and like, I'll be like, Shane, where are you? And he'll be like taking selfies with somebody in the other aisle. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't know. They recognize me.
That's amazing. Okay, so if he watches the episodes as soon as you get them,
yeah,
what was his reaction when he saw you say, if Shane doesn't pass the bar, I'm getting divorced?
Oh, I don't know. He never had a reaction.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like most people would be like, what?
No. Mm-mm. No, but I, you know what? He didn't say anything. Like he didn't say like, oh my gosh, you said that. Why did you say that? What's going on? But I'll tell you, he definitely stepped up his husband game. So I think that's probably was his response to that.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is a special trait. Most people, they don't improve with criticism.
Oh,
they kind of lash out.
Yeah, and I have to give him credit because we've had ups and downs to our marriage, absolutely. And we've gone to therapy and marriage counseling. And this is the first time in 11 years where I honestly feel like Shane actually made like a huge effort to change.
That's great. Explain to me where things went wrong with you and Gina.
You know, I don't know. I think you'd probably have to ask Gina that because I feel like it's more of Gina getting mad at me through the entire season. I don't feel like it's Emily getting mad at Gina. I don't know if it's like she felt like she needed to because then maybe she could get closer with Tamara and Shannon and maybe this was like a way to be like, oh, Emily did this or Emily made me mad, because obviously like they're going to welcome that in, right? Oh, please come tell us more about Emily. Let's talk bad about her. I mean, I'd hate to think that, but I don't know. I don't know if she was maybe in a bad place. Well, I mean, obviously she was. She had probably the worst year of her entire life. And I don't know if maybe because she and I were so close, it was easy to lash out at me. I mean, I kind of get that because what do? You fight with the ones you love the most, right? So maybe that was what it was. I honestly don't know.
Are you guys in a better place now?
I think so. I think that Gina and I have a very real, authentic relationship. So there's going to be ups and downs, just like with my marriage. So I feel like we will get back to what we were, like back to the former glory of Emily and Gina. I feel like we just kind of have to weather the storm. And it's, by the end of the season, it's all good. What's hard is watching it back, because then you see all the things that you didn't know. Like you watch the interviews and you see all the comments made and you're like, well, damn, like that was harsh. So, you know, that's difficult.
Well, one of the things you confront Tamara at Miraval and say, you know, I hear you're calling me Shrek behind my back.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. But then they play a clip where she's saying it. So I'm like, do you even catch that? Because you're not watching.
No, I absolutely did.
Yeah.
I mean, because Shane watches it and I have social media and I see clips.
People
alert you. I mean,
I end up
actually knowing everything, even though I don't sit and like watch it from beginning to end. Yeah, I mean, that was hurtful. It was really hurtful because I feel like it was like an attack of my appearance, which I think is a really low blow, especially when you're a fitness professional and like you want to encourage women to, you know, feel good about themselves. So, you know, and to see Gina kind of involved in the conversation, I don't know the context of it. I do know with reality shows that there's a lot of things that could go on and they can like pick and pull. So, but I mean, it was hurtful. I mean, I cried.
Yeah. Did you contact Tamara?
No, because I had asked her about it before. This isn't the first time. And I have a screenshot of her saying it to someone else too. So, and then Kelly said, yeah, she says it. So, I mean, I know she does. I wish in that moment that she could have just taken ownership for it and been like, yeah, you know what? I said it. I was angry at you, or I, you know, you and I were in a bad place, because then I feel like you can just take ownership for what you did. We can talk about it and we can move forward. But it makes it more difficult when it's like, no, 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 I didn't say that. I didn't say that. And then it's like, okay, well, you clearly did. So like, how are we supposed to move forward in a relationship when I can't even trust anything that you say?
I know it seems like Kelly is not in a good place with any of the other ladies, but are you two?
Kelly and I are fine. Kelly not being in a good place with the other women. I mean, first of all, Kelly's been on the show for what, 4 years now? Has Kelly ever acted differently in the 4 years than she ever has? Like, Kelly has been consistently Kelly for 4 years. So I feel like everybody jumped on this, like, I hate Kelly bandwagon because Tamara and Kelly had a falling out. And then I feel like Tamara jumped over onto, you know, Vicky, and they all just kind of decided that, you know, Kelly's horrible and they hate her. And I thought it was really sad.
Yeah.
I found it to be really sad. I thought there was a lot of bullying. I thought it was mean. I thought it was vindictive. I feel like the difference is, and I know they say Kelly's evil, but I disagree completely, because I feel like Kelly is Kelly. She's always been Kelly. She's never been different, and everybody knows exactly how she is. And Kelly is very much in your face. You know exactly where you stand with her. She doesn't do things behind your back. She's just right there in front of you. And I just feel like there was a lot of vindictive things going on behind her back that I didn't like.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're far away from it, but as a super fan, I can't help but look ahead to the reunion and think that because you are defending Kelly, like you're probably going to be.
Oh, I'm a huge target. Is that what you're trying to say? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I make decisions on the show based on a moral code and ethics and what I think is right. And I feel like everybody kind of jumped on this. I don't like Kelly, you know. I was going to say train, but I don't want to say train, but like, like ship. They all jumped on this, like, I don't like Kelly ship. Because let's be honest, it's easier to go with the majority, right? You go with the majority, that's easy. You stay with a minority and you're a target. And I made myself a target by not turning against her.
Yeah.
No. But I feel like I did the right thing because I had no reason not to like her.
All right. Last question. Knowing what you know now and what you went through, would you have come back for your second season?
Yes. I mean, it was definitely hard for me. It was a lot of stress. It was a lot of emotions. It was difficult psychologically, emotionally, physically. But the fact that I can say that my marriage is in a, I just got emotional, sorry. No. But the fact that I can say that my marriage is in a better place than it ever has been in my whole life. And I think that's because there's a level of self-awareness that would have never been there if it wouldn't have been right there in front of, you know, Shane's face or me. And I think the whole world saying like, you have a great wife, like you're an ass, what are you doing? Even though he'd probably never admit it, I think there was a light bulb that went off in his head that was like, yeah, I have a great wife. I'm an ass. What am I doing? And that's all you can ask for is for someone to recognize it and to remedy it. And that's where we're at. So
I love that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Sorry.
I
get emotional when I talk about
my
family.
Totally. I get that. All right. Time for Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
My Rose is definitely Kathy from Real Housewives of Orange County, the fashion show host. I just feel like I need more of her. Can she have a spinoff? What's your Rose?
My Rose is just married to medicine overall. I think this season is absolutely delivering. The women are bringing it, and I think they're having some really great moments. So everyone tune in. What was your thorn?
My thorn was Ryan Tamara's son's shirt from Real Housewives of Orange County.
The double American flag shirt and hat combo?
Yeah, where it looks like America threw up on him. What was your thorn?
My thorn's going to have to be the shared toothbrush from Real Housewives of Dallas. Because this is something that keeps haunting me and haunting me. And, you know, I have one of those electric toothbrushes where you have to replace the, like, head on it every, like, couple of months or whatever. And, like, that's just the principle of it. Like, I don't even want to share my own toothbrush, never mind somebody else's. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Good point.
So there it is. So I got the chance to speak with Married to Medicine's Dr. Heavenly, and she talked about the current state of her friendship with Dr. Simone, her thoughts on her daughter dating, and what she's looking for in a man for Quad. Plus, she reveals who in the cast has the most cavities, and you won't want to miss that answer. Here's that interview. Guys, we are here with Dr. Heavenly from Married to Medicine. Hi, Dr. Heavenly.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Did you have fun and watch What Happens Live last night?
I absolutely did. I always do. Andy is funny.
He is funny.
Yeah.
Did you bring a little of the shade, maybe?
A little bit. You know, I always bring a little bit, but I was sitting next to Jackie, so I couldn't go all the way in because she would have smacked me.
Right.
But
she was too close.
Yeah, she was too close.
Well, speaking of Dr. Jackie, you guys have a podcast together, Open and Honest.
Yes.
Do you think that because you have this podcast together that what you say is kind of under a microscope, maybe with the rest of the ladies?
I think everything's under a microscope. I don't think it's just that podcast. If you want the truth, talk to Dr. Heavenly. I mean, it's my truth, but I'm never going to lie to you like some of the other ladies lie.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that. And yeah, it's under a microscope. I think that some of the things are misread. I don't think that Jackie meant anything about by the things she said.
Right.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. Do you often find that things are maybe misconstrued? Has there been anything since that incident with Jackie that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think with all of us, not just Jackie. I think sometimes people are looking for something to be upset about. They're looking for something to be, you know, to be outraged about. So, you know, if you look for something, you find it.
You and Dr. Simone seem to be making some very good progress after the dinner that you guys have together. Where is your friendship with her today?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't have any hard feelings with Simone. Yeah. I really love Simone. And, you know, it was something going on. And I don't even want to speak on that anymore. But hopefully we can get it back together. You know, I don't have any hard feelings with her. Other than I don't think she should have said I said something in confidence that was not in confidence. It was my opinion.
Right.
Right.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Of everyone in the cast, who do you think has had the most cavities?
I know who has the most cavities. Mariah.
Who is it? Mariah.
Mariah, yeah.
Did you
had that recurrent decay, you know, so she had it, yeah.
Have you had to school her on how to properly take care of her teeth?
Absolutely. I was the one that told her that she had the chiclet crowns and she had recurrent decay and she did it.
Yeah.
She got them done.
Speaking of...
I got my teeth done, but I didn't have any cavity. We got two different reasons. I had an edge to advice. She had decay, so... Yeah.
I just had my wisdom teeth out last week, mm-hmm. last Monday, and mm-hmm. I survived quite well.
My boys just had theirs out as well.
Did
they?
They
put on sleep to do it, yeah.
Did you film them when they woke up from their...
No.
Because that's a thing. People do that. It goes viral on YouTube, all of that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, oh, yeah. Because people always say the craziest things when they're coming out of, you know.
I want to hear the things my boys might say. So.
Well, speaking of your kids, this season so far, we've seen a lot of your relationship with your daughter. What would you tell to other parents who are dealing with their kids growing up and getting a little bit older?
You know what? When I look back at my childhood and my mother kept me very sheltered, I think it helped me. But I also think that you have to let your children make their own mistakes. You have to let them live. You have to let them grow. As hard as it is, I know the right thing. So, you know, I'm doing my best.
Has she gone on any dates recently?
Hell no. She turned 14 yesterday. She goes out with her friends to the movie, but date? Hell no.
Right.
She's not ready for that. Come on now.
When do you think she'll be ready? Or when?
I said 22, but honestly, probably 17.
Yeah. Well, because that's when like prom rolls around.
Absolutely.
Dances.
But her brother is available. Zachary can go. Damon Jr. can go to the prom with her.
Right. There's got to be like a cousin.
I know what happened at my prom?
What happened at your prom?
Not with me, but the other ladies, you know.
Right.
What I'm
saying? Oh, of course.
Not be a friend of mine.
Yeah. Just what someone happened. You know.
That's it.
So you feel like she should wait until she's a little bit older to date.
Come on.
What would be your screening for a man that she brought home? Say 22, she brings home her first man. What would be the first thing you would ask?
I think that her brothers need to screen them. Her father needs to screen them. But the first thing that I would ask is do you love the Lord?
Oh,
do you love the Lord? Because I think if you're God-fearing, you might be, you know, a decent person.
A well-behaved person, right. At least, mm-hmm. taking her out. So you recently told Dr. Contessa that she needs to take care of her marriage. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised about the way that she responded to that?
I love Dr. Contessa, and I do admire her, the way she's driven. I think that she's one of the smartest women on the show. I think she's very articulate. However, I think that you have to have your priorities. Yeah. You know, God first, family, then career. If it's not in that order, it causes problems.
Yeah.
Look at some of the other marriages. I mean, you know, y'all say gender roles are not important. I think they are.
Right.
And I think when you don't have them, there are issues. Because in your mind, you might say you don't need them. But when they're not intact, like if I got to empty the garbage, I got a problem. You know what I'm saying? If the man, I ain't talking about nobody. I'm saying, but if the man don't work, I got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, that's how, you know, a household has to function.
That's how it has to be. And I think that sometimes you can't. Let me hush. Just be quiet, heavenly. Let it go.
Well, and Dr. Contessa, she posted a message on Instagram,
I think,
in response to that. What did you think about that?
I thought it was her thought process. However, I get it. I get what she wants to do, and I'm probably the same way. But when you got little kids, you can be every woman. Sometimes you can't be her right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put things off.
I think that's fair.
And, you know?
Yeah.
And no, I love totally Contessa. Let me say that. Let me say I really love her.
Yeah.
And I love her ambition.
I want to talk a little bit about the situation at Buffy's house.
Okay.
Because last night on Watch What Happens Live, you said that you think it might have been a setup.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, what made you think that?
I don't know what was played. In my mind, I was there. So I don't know what was played. So that's where y'all have to go wrong. You know, I see how stuff is cut up and maybe I'm wrong to say. But when the lady came in, Jocelyn, she came straight for Toya.
Right.
And it was just like, damn, okay.
It was like hard and fast. And
you know, game recognized game.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to just say that. It was cute how she tried to deny it. Oh, no, I like Toya. Okay.
Did you know Jocelyn Hernandez prior to this?
I knew who she was.
Yeah.
I've never met her.
Right.
She is beautiful. Oh, my gosh. She is a beautiful lady.
Yeah.
I don't want no smoke with her.
Also, Toya throws this amazing sip and paint party.
I thought it was very disrespectful.
That's what I was going to ask.
Very disrespectful. I don't like to see penises, flaccid penises just flying around. I don't. That's not my thing.
Right.
You know, so I stayed because Toya was in a situation. She just had a miscarriage and all of that. And I didn't want to leave because I don't know where our friendship is.
Yeah.
But that would not be the type of party I would have thrown.
Now, we heard a lot of the husbands were not pleased about that as well. So.
I didn't tell my husband, and I don't appreciate people telling my husband stuff that I did not tell him.
Right.
So, you know, tell your own. Don't tell my husband. Let me tell him if I want him to know.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Have there ever been any instances where you haven't told your husband something and then he'll see it on the show when it
and
airs?
He doesn't watch the show. Is that bad to say? He doesn't watch it. He's not on Twitter. He's not on Instagram. He has a job.
Oh,
he's
he is safe.
He has a real career. So we don't argue about stuff. I know for a fact these husband and wives argue about the things that are said and done. I can say it well, I want to.
Right.
They ain't going to know unless y'all answers tell them.
Right. Well, I won't tell them.
Stop telling them.
Over the course of the last couple of years, who do you think on the show has kind of grown the most?
They asked me that question last. Quad.
Yeah.
Quad, absolutely. From the time you see her, and, you know, she has just blossomed into this professional young woman. She's one of probably the most improved as far as success is concerned. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that's why a lot of the women hate on her because, like, Quad was the girl where you could say, hey, I'm a doctor. I have a career. Now she's making as much as the doctors or more.
Right.
Some of the doctors.
Yeah.
Not all of them. But some of them.
You also mentioned last night on Watch What Happens Live that your husband, I think Dr. Jackie's husband, they're still friends with Quad's ex.
Yeah.
So is that awkward at all for you?
Not at all, because I'm not really in it. I don't really know the men that well.
Yeah.
You know, my husband. But Damon and Greg have a professional relationship. They actually refer patients back and forth. And they have been doing it the whole time. So, yeah, of course, he talks to Greg. Greg's a nice guy, you know. He's just not the right guy for Quad.
Right. Yeah. You can keep those issues a little bit separate, I think.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the games we play here on the podcast is called Rose and Thorn. Mm-hmm. So it's basically your favorite part about the season and then your least favorite part. So if you had to pick your rose of the season, what would it be?
Spending time with my daughter.
Okay.
My daughter. Showing my daughter. That's always fun for me. We spend a lot of time together, and it's always fun. And I'm always shocked at some of the stuff she says.
And now you'll probably be more shocked as she gets older.
I hope not.
And what about your thorn? What was your least favorite part of the season?
I don't like the arguments, believe it or not. It makes me cringe, especially if I'm in them. And, you know, even though, you know, I don't know the relationship, I don't like to see that fight. Every time y'all bring that fight back, it makes me cringe. Even though I wasn't involved, I was there. It's just two women fighting, fist fighting, that just takes my heart away.
When you go back and watch the show, for example, do you look and see, oh, maybe I would have handled something differently?
Absolutely. To be honest, sometimes I cringe at some of the stuff I say. I say, oh, my God. And if the interesting thing is, like, if you ask me, Heavenly, did you say that? There's no way in hell I said that. And then I see myself say it. I'm like, damn, no wonder.
It's very true. No, I mean, we've seen that on a lot of our Housewives shows, too. Like, people will be like, I don't remember saying that. And then they get shady with the editing and they show them saying it, you know, 2 months prior or whatever. But if you think about it, you know, we all talk all the time and we don't always remember what we said. But you guys have the cameras on you.
Absolutely. The thing about it is I think a lot of people are not in a position where they see themselves talking about things.
Right.
So they think you're lying. No, I didn't say that. And then they show you and be like, damn.
Yeah. It's way easier to be held accountable when you're on reality.
I thought that I did not say that.
Right.
That I thought it, but I didn't think it came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So,
well, what else do we have to look forward to this season? Obviously, you were not pleased with the sip and paint party.
Right.
But what else is to come that we should look forward to?
I'm helping Quad find dates. That's hilarious. I'm more with my daughter. I'm trying to spend more time with her, so I'm doing all kind of stuff for her. I don't know how much I can say, but and just more drama.
Yeah.
I'm a solid friend. I'm going to say that. So if you say something to Jackie, damn it, you said it to me. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, fair. What are you looking for in a man for Quad?
Quad has a laundry list of things that she wants in a man. And I can say I don't think people should bend their expectations. However, y'all, it's too much. You got to be over 6'3". You got to be a damn near billionaire. High seven figures, not 6'7". You got to cater to her, cook for her. If I'm out seven figures, somebody else need to cook.
Right, yeah. I don't think they have time to be doing that.
And it's just a whole lot. I mean, I love my girl Quad, but we got to find Jesus.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Heavenly.
Thank
appreciate
you
it coming
for
in.
Me. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you. Next week, we have an interview with Captain Lee and Kate Chastain from Below Deck.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.